So I was thinking about the message for this morning in Luke chapter 2. Some good questions were coming to my mind. Has anyone ever encountered something or someone which completely changed your life? Think about that for a moment. Thinking of an experience or a person, anything. What is something that completely changed your life? Perhaps it was a new diet. Some of these things might sound silly. Perhaps it was a new diet, a new habit, a way to solve some confounding problem in your life or the lives of others. Maybe something from the entertainment industry, like a movie franchise or an inspiring music performer or artist, an entrepreneur with an inspiring new invention, or a leader maybe, making people's lives better in some way. When you experience such things which change your life for the better, especially, you cannot help but talk about them. When God entered this world as a human being, the whole world changed. In his time, Jesus was well received by some, but rejected by others. None could ignore him, though. Think about that. You either loved Jesus, received him, or you hated him. There's no ignoring him then. There's no ignoring him now. I would posit that when each of us experience the true peace and the true joy which he gives, we cannot help but talk about him. Luke's gospel begins with the account of Jesus' birth and how he was received, or how he was not received, as we'll see at the beginning, the very beginning of the chapter. So Luke 2, our text for this morning will be verses 1 to 20. Let's start with verses 1 through 7. Luke 2, 1 through 7. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The first thing, Caesar Augustus. The word Augustus means exalted one. I have to wonder if maybe he gave himself that name. If you think about a ruler of the world in that area, the exalted one, it's really signifying a religious veneration. In that time, Augustus, exalted one, it's a religious veneration. So he's almost like God status. And then he was taking a census. So the Roman Empire. Obviously, you know the history that they ruled that area of the world. So the census would be used to measure their world dominance, but also a way to levy taxes. So it was all about their power. Then it says, Joseph took Mary to Bethlehem, his hometown. So in subjection to governing authority, yes, they went back to Bethlehem. Mary gave birth while they were in Bethlehem, while they were away from their home in Nazareth. Think about that. Away from home. Having a baby. Jesus was born in one of the most humble means possible. And he was laid in a manger. The point here, these verses. Mary and Joseph gave up control of their lives and the comforts of home to obey God. They gave up their comforts and control to obey God. In the verses that follow, verses 8 to 14. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. The angels appeared to these lowly shepherds who were out in the fields. These lowly shepherds were the first to hear the announcement. That might seem ironic. Those who are out of the way, out of place, you know, just minding their business. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, it says. What a frightening thing that would be. If you remember the Old Testament, especially the descriptions of the glory of God, you know, the pillar of fire at night, cloud, you know, surrounding the temple, the glory of the Lord filling. No one could enter, otherwise they would die. That's the glory that appeared to the shepherds here. But what does the angel say to them? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And why? Good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Then joy of the Savior himself, who is Christ the Lord. The Messiah. The expected Messiah. The one in charge. And he says that he will be for all the people. The Savior came for all who would listen, as those shepherds did. The ones who would behold the glory of God and not turn away in fear, but in reverence, listen. And then the angels say in verse 14, Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, peace on earth, with those whom he is pleased. The point here. All who seek the glory of God will be pleasing to him and find joy and peace. All who seek the glory of God will be pleasing to him, finding joy and peace. Then verses 15 to 20, we see the shepherd's response. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The shepherds, they went to behold the child. They listened to the angel's message, and then they went and beheld. They told Mary and Joseph, it says, about the angels. It says, let us go straight to Bethlehem, is what they said. So, no delay. The glory of God shone around them. They heard the voices of the angels, God being praised. Okay, let's go. They're ready to leave. Let's not linger. So, if one hears from God, if one truly hears the voice of God, no, he doesn't linger. He goes. And it says, all who wondered about what they were saying. So, many were grappling with Jesus' identity. Was he really the promised Messiah? Was he the one we had been waiting for? And it says, Mary treasured these things, pondering in her heart. It's interesting if you look at the words that can mean the treasured, it's she kept. And the pondering is also meditating. So the verb tense also points out that it's a past action that was ongoing. So this was the rest of her life. It wasn't just once she pondered and all that, and then, yeah, it's Jesus. No, the rest of her life, she treasured, she kept what these shepherds had shared. And she continued to grapple with who Jesus is, the implications of that, the rest of her life. Then it says, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God. The point we can see here in these verses, God glorified is the major theme. At the very beginning of Luke's gospel, it's all about the glory of God. So Jesus' life is all about the glory of God being revealed. To know Jesus is to see the glory of God. To love Jesus is to seek the glory of God. The main idea, Jesus came to show God's glory, bringing joy and peace to earth. He came. Christ, the Messiah. Jesus came to show God's glory, bringing joy and peace to earth. There's a problem, though. We won't experience that joy and peace, truly glorifying God, unless we are pleasing to Him. Again, verse 20 or verse 14. On earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. So only those who are pleasing to God will fully experience that joy and peace, having beheld God's glory. So what makes one pleasing to God? Well, verse 20, glorifying and praising Him, as the shepherds did. The examples of faith from the different entities, the people and the angels that we see here. Joseph, what did he do? Well, he left home. He led Mary with courage. Uncertain. You know, he entrusted himself to God. Yeah, this oppressive Roman government taking a census. Who knows what's going to happen when we get there to Bethlehem? But he obeyed. He knew God was calling him out. So he left home. The shepherds, they listened. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They feared, but then they listened. And then they shared the message of joy and peace. They went back. They told gladly. You know, they went to Bethlehem, told Mary and Joseph and everyone else who was then wondering. And then what does it say of Mary? She treasured the message of joy and peace, and she pondered the rest of her life this message of joy and peace. A constant meditation on her Savior and Lord whom she gave birth to. And then the angels, they proclaimed God's glory, the message of joy and peace. So that message being proclaimed, them being the messengers of God, lowly people of faith, listen. Lowly people of faith, understand, witness the glory of God. So in application, each of those reactions to the message, we can think about for our own lives too. So Joseph, the leaving. Control and comforts left behind. Former life left behind. I'm no longer to identify as I used to identify. Question here then. What is the Lord calling you to leave behind? What is He calling me to leave behind? That's a personal question. It's something we always have to grapple with. And the second thing, proclaiming. The angels proclaimed. Revelation of God and His presence. The angels couldn't hold it in. You know, ministering around the throne of God in heaven. One day, we won't help but proclaim either, whether or not you have faith in the present time. Philippians chapter 2. I'm sure you're familiar with the verse. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It's all about to the glory of God the Father. Again, this message of glory. That's what it's all about, God's glory. I was just reminded of the Westminster Catechism this morning as we were driving here, talking with the kids about what's important, reflecting as a family. And what does it say in the Westminster Catechism? The chief end of man is, there's two things. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So it's all about Him and it's all for us too. That's the mystery of it. Our greatest enjoyment is seeing God glorified. And it's, you know, they base that catechism on verses like this. So whether or not you are in Christ, you will proclaim Christ is Lord. So might as well get right with Him now. The Savior who has come, He's been promised from the very beginning of time. Then we have the question on this one. Are you keeping Jesus to yourself? If you're in Christ, are you keeping Him to yourself? If you find that maybe you're not sharing Him, do you have a greater revelation at hand? When we see God Himself, we can't help but share Him. And then we see the listening, the shepherds. They were still in their fields there. They listened. The Word of God, again, came to the lowly. When we think we already know, if I have it all figured out, then I am not like those shepherds. I'm not listening. I have to be willing to fall on my knees and admit, I don't know everything. God, help me. Just knowing up here is not enough. It's experiencing in my heart. And as the context of the body of Christ, or the household of God, as Brother Bob read in Timothy, it's all about knowing him and making him known. Understanding, I'm chief among the sinners. God showed glory. He showed mercy. And then we can turn to him. So that being still, the shepherds left with immediacy. Let us go immediately. So do you find that in your life there's an urgency to know and make Jesus known? Do you think you have arrived? Let's go and behold the Lord. So how is the Lord asking you to change? That's the question that this asks me. And then when the shepherds went back, they shared. They boldly shared with glory. Nothing to lose. If we know Jesus, let's boldly share. And Mary treasured or kept. Are you holding on to anything other than Jesus? What are we holding on to other than him? Repent of sin. If there's something you're holding on other than Jesus, that's sin. If there's something we're not willing to relinquish in light of the Savior's love for us, that's sin. Let's repent. And Mary was pondering these things. It said an ongoing pondering or meditating the rest of her life. We continue to seek the meaning and significance of Christ. The rest of our lives, let's ponder, let's meditate on the depth of the gift given. What an awesome thing. We never will have arrived. We continue to seek the fullest meaning of the joy and the peace that he has given. We can experience it now. If you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, you have peace that surpasses understanding. Joy in his presence, knowing the one who gives true life. And the rest of our lives, he's helping us understand as we ponder and meditate. If Jesus is your treasure, you will find joy and peace. There's only lasting joy and true peace in knowing the Savior. And that's why he came into the world. That's why he's letting this world fall apart. That's why we have pain in our bodies. And I was challenged by a brother the other day who, he's an older brother, 80-something. He's pastored churches. He's been through church revitalizations. He currently serves as an interim pastor. And he always talks about prayer. His catchphrase is Jesus Christ, obviously present and actively in charge. If he's our joy, if we're truly finding our peace in him, he will be obviously present and actively in charge. That's all he's asking us to consider. So we consider the outward, what is going on in our world? What's going on in the lives of our loved ones? What's going on in my own body with me, the epilepsy of the past, the hearing loss? He carries those burdens, but he's even more concerned with the inner man. How's my heart? Are we letting our hearts be shepherded by him, to be led in the power of the Spirit? And that's where we experience a fuller understanding of that joy and that peace. So leaving worldly control and comfort behind, it's a process. Jesus is inviting us to make it our life's purpose. Is it your life's purpose? To more fully experience the joy and peace of God in Christ. This pleases him. Again, peace and joy to those with whom he is pleased. Just wanting to know him more. It's to know him. He's not this theological proposition. He's not this religious practice. He's the person who came in the form of a baby, was laid in that manger, beheld by the humble and the lowly. We get to behold God, Jesus himself, glorified. That's our privilege. That's the joy we can have. So let us listen. Let us treasure what he has made known to us. Then let us boldly proclaim, like those shepherds did. No restraint, boldly proclaim with all who will listen. We have the message of eternal life. Share that good news. You and I are entrusted with the Savior. The question is, what will we do with Jesus?